This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
A good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning on our Smart Garden Show by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. How could you not be? On
it's
a day like this,
day.
And a week coming up, don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour now tonight.
Exactly. You don't want to miss tomorrow. You don't want to miss your shows tomorrow.
No, and you don't want to miss working. You might even be able to work in your garden tomorrow the way the temperature is going. Who
I
knows?
I know. It's crazy, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really is. But in the meantime, we will love to hear from you either by phone or by text. We're already hearing from some folks via the text message. So if you have a lawn or garden question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, and we have many of those, you know we tend to get really busy really fast. So call or text sooner rather than later at 651-461-9226. Well, what is on your gardening agenda this week or today for this weekend, Teresa?
Well, as a master gardener, I'm just so excited. We've got, if you go to the Extension website, if we go to the Extension website, there's a there's a cool article on seed trials, and this is where the master gardeners in Minnesota actually test out seeds for you. So they figure out how the plants work and everything. And if you love cilantro, there's a cool suggestion for a cilantro that's not going to bolt the minute it hears 90 or 80 degrees or 70 degrees in the weather forecast. There's lots of great information. So we're putting out the results from years past, but there's also some information on there that'll help you. And master gardeners now are getting their seeds. They're signing up for their seeds. So they're working hard. Master gardeners are pulling together garden days in your counties. So check your county extension site to see if you have a garden, master gardener gardening days. And here in Hennepin, we've got some classes going on. So I know we have veggie growing basics. I think they started last week or they're starting today. So it might be too late to sign up for them. I'm not 100% sure about that. But there's lots of free classes out there. So I'm getting excited about, oh, what's coming up in my garden? Well, I couldn't see anything because of the snow, but you never know what's coming up. I expect to see crocuses pretty soon when the snow melts. And so I'm excited about that.
Very good. Yeah, I would think I'm looking at that forecast, Teresa. It looks like I think you'll be able to see your garden another 48 hours or
it's
so.
The way it's crazy going. Yeah. The weather that's coming in, the warm weather. And I think we might get some rain. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
week,
that's a possibility.
Yeah.
At least the precipitation should be in that form.
Anyway. We're hoping, knock on wood.
looking at an interesting text. Let me just read it. When the emerald ash borer has finished destroying Minnesota's estimated 900 million ash trees, might it turn its attention to other trees, say oaks and maples?
As far as I know, it's not supposed to. There may be one other tree it's looking at, and that's really iffy. But it will just find other areas to live. And I'm sure that it's not going to destroy all the ash. So there'll still be some community there. Luckily, it doesn't spread far each year from where it is. So never haul firewood. Always buy your firewood on site. Never haul wood out of your area. That's really important because the larvae and stuff can be in that wood. You've got to be really careful. But as far as I know, it only goes after the ashes. But we have a lot of ashes here, and there'll probably still be some somewhere to harbor some of those insects.
Interesting question.
Yeah, and you can go to the Extension website for more information on emerald ash borer.
Extension.umn.edu. Let's grab a phone call or two.
Okay.
A guy calling in from Shoreview, I believe, this morning. Thanks, Guy. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Yeah, good morning. We have installed several bowling ball arborvitaes along the side of the house, and last fall, Xcel Energy installed this smart meter, and
yes,
within a few months, the side of the arborvitae facing the meter is completely dead. I was just wondering if there's anything I can do to kind of revive that.
Sure.
Just kind of wondering if anyone else has comments on that.
Yep, that's a good idea. I don't know if you've had arborvitaes there before, but what I'm thinking, I'm guessing, I'm not an electrician, but it's probably not from the meter itself. But what it is it's the heat and the light reflecting off of your home. Sometimes we plant our plants too close to the house, so when the sun comes, it warms up the house and it just radiates that heat and that light back onto those evergreens, and that's just too much for it, especially in the winter time, because they dry out really fast. So what you could do is you could put up a barrier behind each one. It's not going to look really attractive, but perhaps like using burlap or something, just a little fence behind each one to shade it from the house and protect it from the heat of the house. Making sure that you water really super well, keep those nicely watered. And if they've only just been put in, you may want to think, how big are they going to be? Add a foot or so onto that and make sure that they're about that far or half that distance away from the home, that the trunk is half that distance away from the home, because you want to make sure that maybe you can walk easily behind them, 2-3 feet behind them. That's how far they should be away from the home, and make sure that if there's a large eave overhead, if you have a large overhang, that they can get water. Perhaps you put a soaker hose there on the outside of the arborvitae.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Let's pick up on another call. Jim is with us, calling in from St. Francis this morning. Hi, Jim. Good morning. What's your question for Teresa?
Yes, good morning. I'm calling regarding volunteer asparagus seedlings. I know from last fall, I do have an established bed, so that's no doubt where the volunteer seeds come from. But I want to transplant those as soon as the right opportunity. And I'd like to know what would be the spacing for seedlings like that, knowing that the root system will eventually get much larger, than just so I'm thinking about putting them in a new place, or can I intersperse them in my established bed?
You know, you could go ahead and very carefully intersperse them. If you want to start a new bed, that would be great. Understand, though, that those seedlings are going to take much longer to come than the crowns that you put in, because the crowns were maybe 4 or 5 years old when you put them in, when you finally got them from the garden centers. So just dig up the seedlings, try not to disturb the roots, and plant them in their nice, rich organic soil, either in midst, maybe on the edges of your garden, or wherever you want to put them in the bed, or start a brand new bed and just know that that one's going to take a little while to come big enough to get your asparagus. And that's really cool. Good luck, Jim.
Very good. All right, Teresa, let's take a bit of a break here. We'll be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. If you would like to give us a call or send a text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And we thank our friends at Great Garage Floors for sponsoring this show every Saturday. I do appreciate that. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on our Smart Garden Show, answering any lawn or garden question you so desire at 651-461-9226. I know a little bit later on, let's talk about what's going on at the Arboretum. Fun flower show. Texter wants to know, is it okay to plant peas in southeastern Minnesota bordering Wisconsin?
If the soil has thawed out, I would say it probably is. Just watch it in case we run into one of those really late frosts, or we're going to get a heavy, heavy, heavy snow. You may just want to put a covering over the peas so they don't get squashed by the snow.
Okay. See how many folks we can help out today. Here's another text that says, hi, I'm starting a slew of seeds indoors. Is it too early is one question. And when do I start them? How long per day should the grow light be on?
Good questions. First of all, we on the Extension website, there is an article about seed starting. So extension.umn.edu, it's down at the bottom of the page. You can click on it. Seeds, the grow light, you want to leave that on maybe 12 to 15 hours a day, and then make sure they do get some rest because they need their rest too at nighttime. They need some dark. And depending upon what seeds you're planting, that's how you figure when you want to start them. The seed packets will tell you start them 20 days before the last frost, 30 days before the last frost. Do not start them at all in-house and direct sow them. So read the seed packet, that will tell you. And it's probably about the right time now to be starting some of those seeds.
Okay, very good. Is it okay, Texter asks, to trim dogwood in the next couple of days, even with the warm temps coming?
Yep, you can trim your dogwood any time of the year.
Another, I'll kind of reduce this big paragraph about cutting down buckthorn at this time. What is the proper procedure?
If you know that it's buckthorn, you can go ahead and cut it down. If you want to put a brush killer on the fresh cut, you can do that. Make sure that you're following the directions that'll say at what certain time of the year you do it. Normally, fall is a better time to do that because you can identify the buckthorn. But if now is when you can get out there, then go ahead and cut it down. And the Extension website does have some great information on buckthorn.
So you can treat it this time of year.
You can try, but you have to make sure that you look and read and follow the label instructions because so many times it's going to have to be a certain temperature.
Yeah.
And if we're not meeting that temperature, it's not going to work.
That's true. Good point.
And you have to do it because the plant should be coming out of dormancy now, so they should be starting to grow a little bit. If they're not actively growing, that's not going to be taken down into the plant and kill the plant. But if you're just cutting and you're not applying any herbicide, go ahead and cut them. That's just wonderful. And then just watch them and keep actually cutting the sprouts as soon as they start. You may even want to take like a big coffee can, and as soon as you make that cut, if you're not going to be applying an herbicide, just put the coffee can over that cut, and the suckers that come up underneath it then will often come up under the can, and they can't get any light, so they won't be thriving. So then you can pull the can off and cut them back again and put the can back on. It's kind of a little indicator that's where I have a buckthorn that I'm trying to kill. And then you can just keep cutting it. Eventually, it may take a year or two or three, but eventually you will kill that plant if you deprive it of being able to sucker and grab some photosynthesis.
Well, that's tough stuff. That buckthorn.
It's tough stuff. It's tough stuff. But, you know, yeah, we got to get rid of it because it's impacting our native plants and our forests.
Let us go back to the phones, Teresa. Randy is checking in from Stillwater this morning, I believe. Randy, good morning. What is your question for Teresa Rooney?
Good morning. I've got a question as far as the dogwood. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trim mine. Can I cut off the newer suckers and start those in like a seed starter, or do I have to get whole new plants?
No, you could go ahead and cut them off, put them in either go ahead and start, try to root them out is what you're trying to do. There's some good information on the Extension site about rooting those fresh cuts. Those fresh, green, fresh growing, brand new plant twigs. You can also, what you may want to do is maybe even try rooting them in place where you actually bend the stem down, make a little cut in the part of the stem that's going to touch the soil, and then put a landscape pin or a little rock so that you can hold that part of the stem down onto the soil. And eventually in about one season, you can look and see and cut it away from the mother plant. And if it stays green and keeps growing, that means it's got its little roots on it. And then you can move those little plantlets out into where you want to have more dogwood.
All right. Very good. Thank you for the call. If you want to check in by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Teresa, I planted 30 hazelnut plants 2 years ago. 20 have survived. Still quite small. Would you recommend fertilizer? And if so, which type of fertilizer? Thank you for your advice.
You could use a regular 10-10-10 fertilizer, or what might be even better is to just put some compost around or some composted manure on the top of the soil, you know, maybe 6 inches away from each plant, just so that it doesn't touch the trunk of the plants. And then just go ahead and let either scratch that in a little bit or just let Mother Nature work that in. And good luck for those hazel plants. I love hazelnuts, and the squirrels do too. Good luck.
The squirrels do too. Good morning. Texter says, is it better, and we get this a lot, for potted plants to use distilled water versus tap water?
You know, what you might want to do if you're using tap water, just let the chlorine off gas. So pour it back and forth between a container or two, or just let it sit out overnight open, uncapped, and the chlorine will off gas. The chloride will not off gas. Many houseplants are not sensitive to the chlorine or chloride that we have in our water, so you can easily use regular tap water for that, or a filtered water. Some plants are very sensitive to it, and you'll know they'll get a lot of brown tips and everything else. You can check your specific plant, and for those plants, use either snow melt, or you can use the water from your dehumidifier, or you can use distilled water. It just so it depends on the plant. It depends.
Okay. Good advice. Before we break for weather, I want to grab another call. Dan calling in this morning on the show. Thank you, Dan. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi. You have a great show. I have always bare-rooted some geraniums that I've had outdoors. And I've forgotten what time of the year I should start those bare roots in soil.
Dan, you know the right time. It's right now. You automatically knew that. That's why you knew to ask. Thank you for the compliment on the show. But now is a great time to be potting up your geraniums and getting them going in the house so that they're big and beautiful when you put them back outside.
All right, very good. Let's take a quick break for that forecast, that warm forecast, Teresa. So hang on. We'll have a look at the CCO weather, and then we'll be back with our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by Great Garage Floor. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. And thanks to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney for answering those questions today. Teresa, lots going on, especially that flower show at the Arboretum. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yes. Now, you only have until the 16th to get out to the Arboretum and see the flower show. So make sure that you get out there. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you need to see some color, you need to sniff some flowers, you need to smell some soil, you just want a break from the kids or whatever, get out to the gardens, out to the Arboretum, and enjoy the flower show. And there's still a lot going on at the Arboretum. Other than that, there's some great exhibitions. And, you know, the dogwoods are really starting to show their color. And I didn't realize this. I found this out yesterday from our little meeting that we had, that the dogwood actually gets more colorful in the spring as it comes out of dormancy. So that's one way that we know spring is coming, that the dogwood starts putting on its yellow or red color on the stems. So get out there and see the gorgeousness.
Yeah, great place. University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. You got to be there. Texter wants to know, do you have any recommendations for compact trees and shrubs that could be planted in a narrow length of soil along a fence line?
There's some great suggestions on the extension website, but there's also, depending upon what kind of exposure it gets, there are some very nice columnar trees, so they stay kind of tight. There's a columnar birch, there's a columnar oak, there's some arborvitaes that stay very columnar, so it just depends upon how sunny and bright it is up there, and when the tree, if maybe it can get up so high and that can poof out over, that's a technical term, poof out over the fence a little bit and just hide the top of the fence. So there's some great information on the extension website. Good luck with that.
Here's an interesting question. What's the least amount of soil needed to sprout seeds indoors?
I would probably go at least 2 inches deep, minimum. If you're doing something like micro seed, like microgreens, you're doing something like that, you could probably get away with an inch of soil or an inch of. Now, you want to do seed starter. When you're starting your seeds, please use seed starter. And you can use that if you're doing microgreens or something. That could be about an inch because they're only going to get up, you know, half an inch, a quarter, three quarters of an inch, and you're going to cut them and eat them. But if you're actually starting seeds, I do a minimum of 2 inches.
Here's somebody who knows their grass seed, and their question is, last fall, I seeded low-maintenance yard with a fine fescue, 40% chewings, 40% creeping red, 10% hard. Would I ruin the look and low-maintenance overseeding a mix containing 10% perennial ryegrass and 10% tall fescue?
Probably not the tall fescue, but the perennial ryegrass is going to look a little thicker. It's going to have a slightly different color. If you're okay with that kind of not perfect all one look, that would be just fine. But yeah, the perennial ryegrass is going to have a different, slightly different texture and color than your fine fescue as well.
Okay. This listener, Teresa, wants your thoughts on cocoa bricks. What's that?
Oh, that's the it just went out of my brain. It's the coconut core. The core, they compress it like a peat brick, and then you break it apart and add water, and it fluffs way up. I think it's a great alternative to using peat in the soil. Do make sure that it says that it has been rinsed really well. That's part of the problem with using the coconut, is they have to rinse it so much and get the salt out of it. So that's an issue, that because we're using a lot of water to get that, plus the transportation, because we don't grow a lot of palm trees and coconuts here in Minnesota, so it has to be brought in from quite a distance. But yeah, coconut core, the bricks, that's a wonderful alternative to in peat. Yeah, instead of peat, great, go for it.
All right, there's another kind of out-of-town plant to talk about. Listener wants to know, do you have any experience growing Mexican sunflowers? They're supposed to be good for pollinators and good for hummingbirds, they grow in Minnesota?
Oh, my gosh. That's the Tithonia. And, yes, there'll be an annual for us. They're big. They're beautiful. And the pollinators and the birds love them. So make sure that you plant them knowing they're going to get quite big. Read the package. It's like 4 to 5 feet tall. They get really big. They have multiple flowers on them, so there'll be a nice accent to a sunny garden in the back or in the center if you have like a circle garden. Yes, do grow them. The Mexican sunflower or Tithonia, great for our Minnesota pollinators. You may want to save seeds on it and see if you can use those seeds next year, but they're an annual for us, so go ahead and do them.
I like to try that. They are an annual.
They're an annual, yep.
Are those seeds readily available, would you think?
Readily available. You'll usually just see them listed as Mexican sunflower, but the Latin name is Tithonia, T-I-T-H-O-N-I-A, Tithonia.
All right. Yep. Great. What listener says this, what is the earliest time for applying preen to soil or the garden? Preen.
I would look at your soil to be about 55 degrees. It should say on the package. You're looking at a pre-emergent, so you want to put it down about when they're suggesting to put down the pre-emergent for crabgrass, about the same time. You can go to the Department of Agriculture, get a soil, there's a soil temperature list on there, and you can go by zip code and then just see where your zip code is and what the soil temp is, and then read the preen package. It's about 50 to 55 degrees, I think it is. I think I said, yeah. So that's what I go for. It's yeah. So think about it as like a crabgrass pre-emergent. When everybody says start putting that down, that's when you want to put it down.
All right, good. Good morning, Texter says, we want to plant carrots this year. The seeds we see to purchase are, quote, short carrots. Can you please talk a bit about carrots, how to grow them, and what are the differences in carrot types? Can we grow them next to tomatoes?
You can grow them next to tomatoes. Carrots like a nice, rich soil, not a rocky, hard clay soil. They think about the carrot. It has to be able to drill down and make a carrot, expand that root out. So you want a nice, loose, organic soil. They do need full sun. If it's a little teeny, tiny bit of shade, like they get an hour or two of shade, that's not going to hurt them. But the more sun, the better. Some of the older varieties are actually different colors, and they will have a slightly different taste. So your white carrots or your orange carrots or your purple carrots all can have a slightly different taste, but they roast up absolutely gorgeous. If you have a shorter soil or you're growing them in pots, which is a great way to grow carrots, just make sure that you're getting the right length of the carrot. You wouldn't want to put a huge carrot that's going to be 12 inches into an 8-ounce or an 8-inch pot. That's just not going to work. You want it to have the soil at least 12 inches deep. But carrots can do great in containers, and you can harvest if you need. You're going to put your carrots down, and you may need to thin them. If you want to wait till they grow little carrots, you can carefully pull up some if you need to thin them, and otherwise just take your thumb or a pair of scissors and just cut them right off at ground level to thin them out so that they have enough space to grow. You don't want to crowd them.
Ooh, I love carrots.
Yeah. Mm. I love carrots, too. Mm, they're delicious. And if you're doing a whole row of carrots and you just want to make sure that they'll be okay, you can actually put a radish seed every so often. The radish seeds will come up very quickly, and you're not going to eat those radishes, but they'll remind you where the whole row is for your carrots. And if you let the radish seeds, they then can go to a flower even and add some interest to your garden. Or you can just snip them off when the carrots come up.
Very good. Listener wants to know what the best way to treat aphids on impatiens and geraniums they have saved over the winter. The ivory soap and water spray has not been enough to eliminate them.
You probably need to do it. I make sure you're doing spraying the soil too. What I probably do if the plants are okay and you can do this, I'd bring them into the shower, cover the soil, give them a good bath. That'll wipe out a lot of the aphids right off. Then use your ivory soap and your spray, and make sure you're doing it consistently, because the aphids are going to be at all kinds of life cycles, and you may kill the adults, but there may be some eggs that are just hatching the next day that you don't realize have just hatched, so then you need to spray them again. So I'd probably do like a spraying every 5 days or so, and just keep on it because you can get ahead of it. And then on nice days, make sure you can get them outside and then transfer them outside so that issue is then taken care of by the critters outside.
All right. Listener says this, I left my Annabelle hydrangeas up throughout the winter for garden interest. Is now the time to cut them down?
Sure, you can cut them down. If they tend to flop, you may want to leave some of the stems up about a foot or two. Those stems should leaf out again for you. They're not going to flower, but they may be kind of like a cage to hold up some of the floppier stems. But yep, you can go ahead if you can get out into your garden and you're not stepping on squishy, wet soil. If the soil is still slightly frozen or has dried out enough, you can be working in your garden and cut those Annabelles back.
Very good. Teresa, hang on. We're going to take a bit of a break here. We have more Smart Garden Show to come here. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. This is our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by Great Garage Floors. And if you're just joining us this Saturday morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this morning at 651-461-9226. 9226. Bunch of texts yet to take care of, Teresa. Let's see how many folks we can help out here.
Okay.
This listener bought some hosta seeds. What is the best way to start them? Plant directly outside or start them inside?
Whoa, I'd probably start them inside to get them up and growing quickly. When you put them outside after the ground is warmed up, I would protect them because the rabbits will probably think they're delicious. And I don't know how long it's going to take till they actually look much like hostas, but do keep that fencing up to protect them from rabbits. You may even want to put a floating row cover over them so the squirrels don't dig them up right away, because young hostas would be delicious.
Yeah, for them, yes.
Yes. For us, too, we can eat hostas.
Well, I guess we can, yeah.
Yes.
And we could eat or drink Creeping Charlie tea, too, I guess.
Yes, we could. Maybe we don't want to, but
we don't want to, no. Can I, Texter wants to know, still cut a fairly large offshoot branch from a box elder tree?
Yes. I think the sap is probably running, so you could really do it any time. You may want to wait until you know that the sap is done. Maybe check with the arboretum when the sap is stopping running, because it started already when they're done tapping the maple trees and the walnut trees. But yeah, you could go ahead and cut your box elder anytime. But if you cut it now and it bleeds or the sap is running, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It'll just look really bad and you'll feel terrible that you hurt the tree, but you didn't.
Okay. Now, this listener, Teresa, wants to know, do I need to trim my geraniums that have been inside the house? If so, how short do I cut them? They're very old.
You know, you could, if you want to, you can just leave them the way they are. If they're not tall and leggy, you can just leave them the way they are, and they'll just be nice and big when you put them outside. If they're looking a little tall and skinny on one side, you could prune those branches back a little bit. Just always prune to where there's a leaf coming out, just above a leaf or something like that. That will help you to know that then you're not leaving a little stick showing. You want to trim just above a flower or a branch, just to kind of clean up the look a little bit.
All right. Let's grab a phone call before we run out of time. Karen is checking in from St. Paul this very morning. Karen, thank you. What is your question?
Okay, my question for Teresa is, I have endless summer hydrangeas, and I'm wondering, I heard the previous caller call about the Annabelle. Is there something I should be doing for the endless summer now?
Very good. Thanks for the call. I'm looking at something that you and your colleagues remind folks from time to time here on the show. This texter says, please remind people to think of plants that benefit butterflies and bees. Examples, bee balm, butterfly weed, other things. Let's help those little critters.
Pollinators.
Yeah.
We need our pollinators. And it's not just the bumblebees and it's not just the pretty butterflies. Our native bees and wasps and things like that, they need that pollen too. And they're like a magic little group out there that does so much work that we aren't even aware of, because they're lots of times inconspicuous and we don't see them. They're not like a big pretty monarch or a hummingbird or something like that. We just don't see them. But yeah, so plant those plants and try to plant where you have something blooming all season long. You have your early spring flowers, your middle summer flowers, and then those flowers that bloom up until the snow or even through the snow to keep those pollinators coming back for more. You want an old country buffet in your garden all year or all summer long, all growing season long for those pollinators.
Well put. A listener wants to know, what causes little brown or black spots on some potted plant leaves?
That could be a fungal disease. It could be some damage. It could be little aphids or a little insects that bit into it. It could be the cat's pawing at it, and the cat paw, just little claws, just kind of broke the surface of the plant. There's all different kinds of things that it could be. What you want to go do is maybe go to the extension site and go into the house plants and see if anything looks like that. If you can't figure it out, you can also be at the extension site and ask a master gardener. So you can click on that area and you can actually send a picture or up to three pictures to a master gardener who will look into it and give you their best information that they have on that.
Okay. This texter says this, I have an old growth rose bed Can I cut it all the way down so I can really clean the bed? Will it hurt the rose bed? It's huge, maybe 8 feet by 5 feet. Always had new shoots coming up.
Well, it really depends on what the roses are, but if it's always has new shoots that come up, suckers from the ground that are the same as the plant, you can probably do a hard prune. I would probably wait until the roses actually, just before they start showing some growth or you start to see them greening up and you can see that the leaves are starting to come, then you can prune back whatever's dead. I probably wouldn't cut them all the way down because that's really going to impair them, but you can cut each rose back pretty hard and then just clean up as best as you can, and then maybe next year do the same thing, and that'll help you get ahead of whatever issues you're seeing if it just looks too messy or something.
Just have less than 2 minutes to go, Teresa. I was looking at a sad note here at one of your Master Gardener colleagues passed away. Master Gardener, a couple of weeks ago, it's this listener's aunt, Mary Lou Marchant from Bemidji, passed away after a battle with cancer. She was extremely active with the Master Gardeners in Beltrami County and a font of knowledge. She will be missed by many. So our sympathies to the family there. Wanted to mention that.
Thank you.
I know we've just got probably close to almost a minute to go here now. What about two things? Get to the Arboretum. You got to see that flower show for sure.
Yeah. Get out there. And there's stuff blooming in the conservatory, too. So get in and get your smells.
Yeah, this is inside now, just to folks
remind. Yes, it's inside. Yeah, there's not a lot of flowers.
Although being outside. Being outside would be nice this time of year now, finally.
It would be.
So get out there. Get out west on Highway 5 and 41. You're going to be very close to that. But you got to make reservations, right?
Yes. Call ahead or go to the website and see how you get your tickets and your timing and everything else.
And by all means, if you haven't checked it out yet, get to the university's website, which is what?
extension.umn.edu, and click on the Yard and Garden tab.
Yeah. Teresa, thank you so much. Always fun.
Thank you, Denny. Happy growing, everybody, and enjoy the next week.
Yes, enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of Season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
the weather. Thank you, Teresa. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions today.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.